Amen. Today I'm going to conclude on a five-part message on You Shall Receive Power. So today is part five, the concluding portion. Part one, two, three, and four is on our website. If you've missed them, the Lord has really blessed through these messages. And I don't know, we have some of them are in video. I don't know which ones. Some of them are video, but all of them are in audio. Some of them to come. So you can, whatever you've missed, you can see on the website. Anyway, so this is part five, the concluding part. Let me start with this little story for you. There was an Italian man. We have any Italians in here? There's a few Italians in here? Okay. All right. There was an Italian man who decided to sell everything that he had to immigrate to the United States during the turn of the 20th century. He barely had enough money to buy a ticket on a ship to the USA. And because he didn't have much money left, he went and he bought some cheese and crackers to eat during the journey to the US, because that's all the money he had, so just some cheese and crackers he'd eat. So every day, for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner, he ate his cheese and crackers. While he was eating this, everyone else in the ship, in the dining hall, was eating these amazing foods. He could smell the aroma of fish and steak and chicken and all other delicious foods. And he was getting sick and tired of eating just cheese and crackers. And on the sixth day of his journey, he went to the captain of the ship and said, "Captain, I'll do anything you want. I'll do the dishes. I'll clean the bathrooms. I'll sweep the floors. Anything, anything. Just let me have one meal in the dining room. I can't stand eating cheese and crackers anymore." Then the captain looked at him, very perplexed, confused. And he said to him, "But sir, the meals are included with your ticket." Oh my goodness, yes. God did not call us to live on cheese and crackers or live cheese and cracker lives. Because meals are included with the ticket, with our salvation. Thank you, Lord. God does not just forgive our sins and make us believers and give us this great commission and say good luck and goodbye. God has given us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, His very breath He has breathed on each and every one of us. And it's my hope that we live lives that are filled by the power of His Spirit and not live cheese and crackers lives. And say it again, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So several weeks ago, I began a series on You Shall Receive Power. And as I mentioned, I'm concluding today, and it continues to be my hope and my prayer that through these messages, all of us will grow in the fullness of the Spirit of God, what God has for our lives. With God's help, I know without a doubt that our defeats can be turned into victories and our weaknesses can be transformed into strength to live victorious lives in the Messiah, Yeshua, our King. Now, last week, we concluded with the topics. How can a believer be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the very Spirit and breath of the living God? And also, how can a believer know when he's filled with God's Spirit? And also, and what results can we expect from being filled with the Spirit of God? And today, we're going to continue with, is there more than just one filling of His Ruach HaKodesh, His Holy Spirit? Is there more than just one filling? You know, I believe the scriptures are very clear that there are many fillings of the Ruach, of God's Spirit, for the believer that's yielded to Him. We should be filled for every new opportunity of service that God presents to us. And the admonition to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 5:18 literally means in the original Greek to be filled with the Ruach constantly and continually and to keep on being filled. So we need to be keep on being filled and keep on being filled, because as people we have the tendency to leak and lose it. And we need to continually request and ask and desire to be filled with more and more of the Spirit, God's presence in our life. And the scriptures record numbers of instances when Shimon Kepha, when Peter and the other Talmudim, the other disciples were filled with God's Spirit, His Ruach, His breath. And as believers, we are utterly and we are wholly dependent upon the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, for all spiritual victory and power in our lives. Therefore, the more that we are yielded, the more liberty that the Spirit of God will have in working through our life and bringing other people to the Messiah, Yeshua, and also in bringing us into a greater spiritual maturity. And I think all of us want to be more mature in the Lord, don't we? I hope we're all not just satisfied where we're at, with no desire to change and to grow and to improve or to be filled with more of the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. And the following practical suggestions, and if you don't, you know, on your bulletins, what you have is a good place on the back to write things, by the way. And also, whatever you miss, you can see on the website. But the following practical suggestions will help you and me to live in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Number one, meditate on these glorious truths. That is, Yeshua the Messiah literally dwells within us. That we are dead to ourselves, and we are dead to sin, and to all personal and selfish desires. We're dead to those things. And we are alive to God through Yeshua the Messiah, as it says in Romans 6:11. We have exchanged our lives with all the sins in our lives and all the frustrations and all the defeats. We've exchanged these for the victories and a triumphant life. The life of Messiah, in whom, as Colossians chapter 2 says, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him we have been made complete. Just think, the one who dwells in our hearts is the one who claims all power in heaven and earth. He claims all power in heaven and earth, and He dwells within you, that same power. This is why Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 that I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Or I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. We're now thinking His thoughts, not our thoughts, expressing His love and His compassion. And we're speaking His truths. His will has become our will and not the other way around. Don't try to force your will on God. It's not going to work. His will becomes your will. Our prayer should be, Adonai Yeshua, or Lord Yeshua, I am totally and completely without reservation. Use me, Lord, as you wish, and send me wherever you desire, for I'm dead to myself, and my life is hidden with the Messiah in God. And the key to this area involves abiding in the Messiah, Yeshua. Are you abiding in him? Yeshua said in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my mitzvot, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. And that abiding life for us should be an effortless life. It shouldn't be difficult. If we fully obey God's commandments and we draw upon his life and energy through the Ruach HaKodesh, life will be so much easier and simpler for all of us. It really will be. And the truest test for a believer is, am I trying or am I abiding? Are you just trying, struggling? Is it just an effort, or are you just abiding in him, living in him, breathing in him, fellowshipping with him, communing with him? It shouldn't be an effort. You shouldn't have to try. It needs to be something that's coming naturally because you are abiding in him closer and closer. And if you find yourself still trying, you're not yielding yet. You're not abiding in the fullness of the Ruach, the Spirit, in your life. You're not yet an open vessel and an unchoked channel for the Lord. So we need to be abiding in the Lord. The second practical suggestion is committing ourselves to the permanent practice of spending time each day in prayer for God's guidance in your life and for the souls of men. And admittedly, I still struggle with this, and many of us still struggle with it because there's so much going on around us. You know, those who, you know, you get up early, maybe you have to go to work, you're hustling and bustling all day, you're rushing in the traffic to work, on the way home from work, you get home, you're tired, you're hungry, all you want to do is sit down or lay down and then you fall asleep in front of the TV. It's a reality that happens. But we have to commit ourselves to a permanent practice of spending time each day in prayer for God's guidance in your life and for the souls of men. This involves quiet time, where we listen for that still, quiet voice of God to speak to us, a place of no distractions, where we can concentrate and meditate without interruption, without limitation, a place where we can approach God's throne for power and authority and wisdom and the continuing filling of the Ruach in our lives. And again, I struggle with that, as we all struggle with that, to make the time, to set aside the time. And yes, I try sometimes to sit there to try to listen to God's still, quiet voice without saying anything, just listening, and I fall asleep. And we all fall asleep. But we have to keep on at it, spending that time with God, listening for his voice, desiring his direction and his guidance in our lives, that we would be filled more and more with his presence, with his Spirit, so we can be more and more like him, so we can be a vessel that he can use to bring salvation to the world. Thirdly, we need to spend time daily reading and studying the Word of God. And again, that's a difficult thing for many of us, setting aside that time. And this includes memorizing scriptures so that we're able to call upon the Word of God in all circumstances and in all situations. Think of Yeshua when he was approached by the evil one, by the devil in the desert. He didn't pull out a Torah scroll, did he? If you've ever lifted this Torah scroll, it's kind of heavy. I don't think he carried it in a backpack or carried it, you know, in a little satchel around. No. He couldn't pull it out when the devil came to him. Nope. And start reading scriptures out of it. Well, wait a minute, devil. Let me open up my Torah scroll here. No. He didn't do it. He quoted scriptures from his heart that he knew from his heart. And with the technology we have today, computers, tablets, smartphones, e-readers, and etc., we are especially without excuse, since there are so many ways that we can read the Bible, study it, and hear the scriptures. And what was that? That was the scriptures. Okay, that's good. And you know what? Putting aside, you know, the smartphones and the tablets and the computers and all those other things, you can actually open up one of these real touch and feel Bibles. You can. It's there for you. We have to do it every day. I listen to the scriptures pretty much every day, traveling in the car back and forth and here and there. I have it playing. I listen to it. I hear something I like or I want to hear again. I just play back that verse or that chapter. There's so many ways we can hear the Word, study the Word, live the Word. Fourthly, do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh, or do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Confess and turn from sinful practices. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Does anyone have that memorized, that scripture? Yeah? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. That's a scripture you should have memorized. But as I said, do not grieve the Spirit. Confess and turn from your sins, as it said in 1 John 1. And the moment we do something we know is wrong, we grieve the Spirit of God. And if we don't confess it as sin and sincerely repent, it sticks with us and stays there. And get in the habit of immediately confessing sin when you commit it. How many of you turn into a monster when you're on the freeway? Did you see that guy cut me off while you did? Anybody do that? Yeah. All the time. And when that happens, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't act like this. I shouldn't say that. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Or when Irene, you know, hits me with the frying pan on my head. She said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I hit my husband with that frying pan on the head, you know. If you do something, confess it as sin and give it to the Lord. If you don't, the Spirit of God is displeased. God's Spirit is displeased and saddened when we commit sin and continue to practice it and not confess it. Therefore, if we want to continue to be filled with His presence and have power to witness for the Messiah, we must live a yielded and a holy life before Him. This doesn't mean that we never sin, that we never blow it, that we don't make mistakes, but when we do, we need to be quick to acknowledge it and forsake the sin and turn to God for mercy. Turn to Him for mercy. This is what King David did in Psalm 51 when he was caught in his adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet came to him. And it says in Psalm 51, God, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my sins, my crimes, my sin confronts me all the time. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence. And in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew within me a right spirit. And don't thrust me away from your presence, and don't take your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, from me. Restore my joy in your salvation, and let a willing spirit uphold me. That's another scripture that we should all know. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me, and restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. I even know this in a couple songs, a couple versions of that in a song, but let God's word be part of your life. Number five, do not quench the Ruach HaKodesh. We must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God, for he has infinite wisdom and knowledge, and he'll lead us in all truth. It says in John chapter 16 and verse 13, however, when the Ruach Emet, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but will say only what he hears. He will also announce to you the events of the future. If you want to know what's going to take place in the future, you need to be hooked in with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a seer or a soothsayer or carry a sign around the street. The world is coming to an end. Repent, repent. The world's coming. But God will show you things. God will speak into your spirit certain things. Never say no to him. As we grow accustomed to living a Ruach-filled, a Spirit-filled, a breath-filled life, Messiah-directed life, we'll have many wonderful experiences, such as Philip had in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 26 through 29, when the Ruach led him to speak to that Ethiopian eunuch. And as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, had in Acts, chapter 16, verse 9, when he was called to Macedonia to proclaim the Besorah, the good news of the Messiah. We need to experience that still, small voice of the Ruach, God's Spirit speaking into our hearts, telling us to go out and speak to people about the Messiah, Yeshua. And I see this in Irene many times where she said, the Lord's telling me to speak to this person over here. I've seen it many times in her. I mean, we've been everything from being at a bus stop to in a store or whatever, and she'll tell me, the Lord's telling me to speak to this person or to give this person some money or to do this and that. God speaks like that. I see it all the time with her. And I'm glad she listens to the Lord. I don't think he told you to hit me with the frying pan, but but anyway. I'm just kidding, okay? Because I know somebody's going to say, Irene, did you really hit the rabbi with the frying pan? Okay, okay, you don't have to explain. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, and when we do listen to the Lord, we'll also see that the Spirit of God has prepared the hearts of those people to receive. You know, if God tells you, go speak to that person, God has prepared their heart. And the Ruach, the Spirit, knows all things. And if we're filled with His presence and His power, we'll always have the right thing to say to those who are in need. As we ask God to fill us with His presence, His Spirit, we're embarking on the greatest adventure of our life. Remember, we are asking Him to be filled with the very Spirit and breath rather than being filled with ourself. A lot of us are just filled with ourself. We need to get rid of the self and be filled with the Spirit. And as the Spirit of God takes control of our life, we'll become more and more like the Messiah, Yeshua. And the Ruach HaKodesh is not the author of confusion and emotional extremes. He has come to exalt and to glorify the Messiah, Yeshua. That's why the Spirit came, to exalt and glorify the Messiah, Yeshua. Therefore, when we're filled with that Ruach, with God's presence, with His breath, it will be our constant desire to do the will of God and to please and honor the Messiah Yeshua. So why did Yeshua come into the world? Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That's why Yeshua came into this world, to seek and to save what is lost. And what will please him most? What will please the Lord, the Messiah, the most? We'll please him the most as we help to fulfill that great commission by going into the entire world and proclaiming the Besorah, the good news to every creature, and letting him live his life through each one of us. And how is this accomplished? It's by the power of the very Spirit and breath of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Think of it. We are privileged to be used by our Messiah Yeshua in helping to reach a lost world with the Besorah, with the good news of hope and eternal life. We're privileged. It's an honor. You're privileged. This is an honor to do this. Thank you, Lord. We dare not sin against the Lord and against those who are waiting to hear by hesitating and not doing it when God is calling you to do it. Do you ever feel that God wanted you to share with somebody, but you fought with them? You know, you felt an unction in your spirit to go talk to somebody, and you just resisted, and you kept pulling back, and then you just didn't do it, and you know you should have done it. Has that ever happened? Oh, a lot of hands went up. Ask him to fill you now with his power and authority so that you may experience victory in your life. And as you do, God will transform your life and you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. I want to end with this story here. There was a Welsh preacher who was scheduled to preach one night. But before he preached, he asked to be allowed to withdraw for a period of time before the service, to just leave the service and go by himself for a time. And he remained in seclusion so long that the pastor sent his servant to request him to come. The congregation's waiting. The congregation looking for you. Where are you? And as the servant came near the room, he heard what seemed to be an indication of conversation between two parties, like two people talking to one another, although in a very subdued, low tone of voice. And he caught these words here: "I will not go unless you go with me." And he kept hearing these words in a subdued voice: "I will not go unless you go with me." Again, "I will not go unless you go with me." And without interfering, he returned and he reported to the pastor, "He will come all right, and the other one will come with him." And sure enough, when he came, the other one did come along, the Spirit of God. He was saying, "I will not go unless you go with me." And he did go with him. And with such power and authority that the service was powerful and anointed, and many people gave their lives over to the kingdom of God. Newness of life. It's both our privilege and duty to allow the Spirit of God to work along with us as we endeavor to teach others about the Messiah. It's our honor and our privilege. Thank you, Lord. I know it's kind of late, but we're going to be eating in a little bit. But I want to do something here. I want you, Bob, if you can come down here.